keeping that in mind, and keeping in mind the fact that we as believers, from the greatest or from the very first qualities mentioned in the Quran, is that we believe in the unseen. Alif Lam Mim, ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين الذين يؤمنون بالغيب. So the very first description or the quality of the believers in the Quran is that they believe in the unseen, right? And this is from you know, intelligence. This is from sense that you believe in that which you cannot directly perceive, right? Because in creation there's more than what any one of us can simply perceive with his eyes or with his ears or with his smell or with his touch, right? So to believe in the unseen is from, you know, it's from reason to do that, because most of our knowledge that we get does not come directly from our own physical senses, right? This applies to everybody. All the knowledge that you hold, the vast majority of that knowledge did not come to you through your own physical senses. It came through other things, right? Obviously through akhbar, which is the major thing. Akhbar meaning reports, from the reports of others. So, because this is an issue where, for example, the people of kufr, the people of disbelief, you know, they may mock the believer, or they may mock the people of iman, and they may say, well, you believe in fairy tales, you believe in this, you believe in that. Alright? But when we believe in the unseen, we are believing in everything that exists. And from that, in fact, in the Quran, which is where I want to move into, the Quran describes or divides the whole of everything which exists into two categories, right? It is either the ghaib, or it is the shahada, right? So this is the description of the Quran of whatever exists, all that exists, including Allah Azza wa Jal, right? It is either the ghaib or it is the shahada. The ghaib meaning that which we can't see, and the shahada, that which we can see. Right? So in the Quran, Allah Azza wa Jal, He says, ذَلِكَ عَالِمُ الْغَيْبِ وَالشَّهَادَةِ الْعَزِيزُ الرَّحِيمُ Surah Sajda. That is the knower, meaning speaking about Allah, the knower, the one who knows the ghaib, the unseen, and the shahada, that which is observed and witnessed. And this occurs, like this alimul ghaibi wa shahada occurs 10 times in the Quran, in 10 different verses. And also alimul ghaibi la yudhiru ala ghaibihi ahada. The knower of the unseen, he does not make manifest his unseen to anybody. Illa man irtada min rasul. Except for the one whom he's pleased from amongst a messenger. Right? So in the Quran, the description of everything that exists, or the categorization of everything which exists, is either it is from the ghaib or it is from the shahada. Right? Why is this important for us to know? Because we are now entering into some very, very important questions about what exists and how do we gain knowledge of that. Right? This is a very, very important issue. Right? What exists? What's out there? And how do we acquire knowledge of that? Right? These are two issues which many, many people of philosophy in the past and in the present, they speak about, and they made great mistakes. In fact, this is the very topic. These are the very topics that Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he's discussing these very things in his books when he's refuting either the philosophers or the people of Kalam, right? The Ash'aris, Maturidis, the Jahmiya, and people, because they made tremendous mistakes in these topics, right? So there's two things. One is, what's out there? What is out there? Right? In English, they use, we don't need to use these, you know, we don't use these philosophical terms, but they have labels for these things, right? This is called ontology, right? O-N-T-O-L-O-G-Y, ontology, which simply means what's out there, what exists, what is its reality, what is its nature, what's out there. And the second thing is, how do you acquire knowledge of that? What's the route to acquiring knowledge of that? And again, they have these terms in, you know, they call it epistemology, which is, you know, what's the route through which you acquire knowledge? Right? But these two questions, they are important for us as believers, because we need to know what exists, what's out there. What's out there? Right? And also, how do we acquire knowledge of what is out there? Right? So these are two important questions. We have to make sure that we are, you know, very clear about these things, so that we don't go astray like the philosophers, like the materialists, and like many from those who ascribe to Islam, like the people of Kalam, they also erred in these issues as well. So I want to speak a little bit about this before we come into discussing the bliss and the punishment of the grave, because that is from the unseen. It's from the unseen. But I want to mention some general principles or general points on this topic, which basically it's overwhelmingly discussed by Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah. And I mentioned very briefly the first question, what is out there? What's out there? Right? So the Quran has divided what is out there into two categories. Right? It is either from the ghaib, from that which we cannot see, or it is from the shahada, that which we can see, that which we can observe. That's briefly. I'm going to come back to this, inshallah. I'm going to come back to this shortly. The second question, which is, how do we know what is out there? As in, what's the root of knowledge? How do we acquire knowledge? And basically, there are three levels or three roots, right? The first one is al-his. Al-his. Al-his means sensory perception, right? So this is the vision. I can see you all. I can see each one of you. Each one is a separate entity. I can see with my eyes, right? I can hear. I can hear someone speaking, right? That's sensory perception. I have the sense of touch. Well, I know this is obviously, it's there, you know. And the same with, you know, everything else, with touch. And then the smell. And, you know, taste, right? This is what we call sensory perception. And this can be zahir, it can be outward, right? So outward from myself, so I can perceive this, I can touch this, and I can, there's a texture of the carpet there, and I can smell, you know. This is how I know that there's something out there, right? But also, if you have feelings and emotions, you experience and feel those emotions as well, right? So this now is, this is like within the body. So you experience joy. You experience fear. Right? You have these internal feelings which you can experience. They are true and they are real, right? Okay. So this is the first way through which we can know things. That we can know what's out there. The second way is by way of reason, al-aql. By reasoning. Right? And reason itself, the reason, the aql that we have itself, it falls into two categories. right? The first one is what's called Badihat Daruriyya. Badihat Daruriyya. This is something that really comes from the fitrah, right? It comes from the fitrah. And it means like the most basic elementary principles, which we know to be true, which we don't need to think about, but we know they are true, right? And these come from the fitrah. For example, I know that something can't be in two places at the same time. I know this bottle is here. I know it can't be outside. Right? And this is something known even by a child, a baby. Right? A child or a baby, you can see from instinct, when it's looking for a toy that's over there, it always goes to that toy. It never thinks, you know what, it could be in two places at the same time. Because it instinctively knows that's not true. Right? Right? So there are certain things that we know, they instinctively, they are true. This comes from the fitrah itself. Right? And reason itself is built upon the fitrah. Right? So that's one of two. Badihat Daruriyya. And the other way from reason is where we reflect, we look, and we make analogies, and we learn about the world. We use reason to learn about the world, right? So we look at things by way of our senses, and we look at things that happen, events that take place, relationships, and we then use our reason to then figure out more things than what we just know by the physical senses, right? This is the use of reason. This is what we call al-i'tibar bin-nazar wal-qiyas, right? Meaning that we look, we make analogies, and we reflect, and then we acquire knowledge about the world around us, right? Which is more than just what we, through the vision of the eyes or of the hearing. Right, so this now is reason, aqal. This is another route to gaining knowledge of what's out there. Right? So, let me give an example to illustrate this. Like, imagine you have something, a device, and you switch it on, and you point it to the carpet there, and it starts burning. Right, now you know that you can't see whatever it is. We can't see anything. We can see that it started burning, and we can see that it correlates with whatever device it is, some laser or something like that. So therefore, we know by reason that there's got to be something going on, right, between this and that's causing the fire. Right, something has to be there. Right, so this is what I mean, that you have al-his, first of all, then the second one is reason, the use of reason. And reason itself is of two types. The third way of acquiring knowledge, is al-khabar. Al-khabar. The third route to knowledge is al-khabar, which is reports. Truthful reports. And this is something that the people of disbelief, that they would reject this. But truthful reports, a khabar, sadiq, is a true and valid root of knowledge. And this includes revelation from Allah Azza wa Jal. Right? It is a truthful report. And we can gain knowledge about the seen and the unseen from revelation. Right, so all of this is to do with how do we acquire knowledge of things. Very clear now, right? So now you have a basic framework. What's out there? What's out there? Tell me, what's out there? What are the two categories? Right, obviously there's things that come under each category, but there's al-ghayb, that we can't see, and there is ash-shahada, that we can see. Right. And then in terms of how do we acquire knowledge about things, then it is by way of number one. What's the first one? Al-His, which is just the physical senses. The physical senses, you know, we know things are out there, we can feel, perceive, experience, we know, you know, there's entities, you know, there's a person, there's a tree, there's this or whatever. We can see all that. There's, you know, the clouds, everything, we can see that. The second thing is a reason, al-aql, and this, there are two levels of this. The first one is basic elementary principles that we know instinctively they are true. Right? This is something which is from the fitrah that Allah has put in every child, every person. We know instinctively they are true. And this is basically what the basis of all science really stems from. It actually comes from sound principles of the fitrah, right? And then you have reason, where you use a reflection, you look at things and you make observations and you make rational deduction, you use your mind to understand things and then you gain more knowledge, right? This is from reason. And the third is khabar, which is the report. The report. Right, and most of our knowledge comes from reports. Most of the knowledge you hold in your head right now did not come from your own experience. It has come from the reports from other people. Right? And it's impossible for a person with his own physical senses to go and learn about everything that's out there. Right? Has anybody been to China here? Has anybody not been to China? Okay, how do you know China exists? Well, you've never been there. You've never flown over it. All you've heard people saying for hundreds of years, there's a place over in the east called China. Right? And most of the knowledge you have has come through akhbar, through reports. Right? So these are the ways about how we know what's out there. Right? So the first question is, what's out there? And the second question is, how do we acquire knowledge of what is out there? Okay. Right, so now, how many points have we mentioned so far? We said, first of all, that from the first qualities of the believer described in the Quran is that they believe in the unseen. Right? That they believe in the unseen. This is in the Quran. الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. This is the first quality mentioned about the believers in the Quran. The second thing that we said is that in terms of what's out there, right, is divided into the ghaib and the shahada. That which is unseen and that which is seen. The third thing that we said is what are the routes to knowledge of what's out there, right? And it is either it is his, which is sensory perception, or it is reason, or it is a truthful report. Right? A truthful report. Right? These are 3 points. All that clear. The next point is very important to understand, is that we have to make a distinction between what exists in your mind only and what exists outwardly as in and is real. Yes? So, there's that thing which is fil adhan, that which exists only in your mind, and that which exists actually external to your mind, it's true and real, it has a true and real existence. Right. The reason why this is very important is because if you do not distinguish between these two things, you're going to start believing in things which are not true. Right? This is what happened to the people of philosophy, the Greek philosophers. And it's what's happening today with the scientists today as well. Right? Where you imagine something in the mind, you think, oh, this is mathematically, this is proven, but in physical reality, you've got no proof for it. You just think it exists in the mind, right? You understand? Right? So to distinguish between what the mind thinks of, and which is only just a mental concept or a mental idea, and between what actually is out there. They are not the same thing. Do you understand? Like, for example, in the mind, many more things can exist that actually exist. Right? I'm going to give you some examples now of what this means. Right, so in terms of what's out there, like if I said to you, mercy, ar-rahma, is it a thing out there, like the bottle, right, like the microphone, like, you know, a bag, is it like a person, or is mercy a notion, a mental idea in the mind that we have when we look at things that take place externally? Which of the two is it? Sorry? Which is in the mind, right? It's a notion in the mind, right? Because you don't see, you can't say, look, there's mercy. I saw mercy, you know, in the park yesterday. You don't speak like that because this is a mental notion in the mind. Right? So there are many things which are only mental ideas. So we make a distinction between that and between what's actually out there. What's out there and which is what we call an aynun. Aynun mean an entity. Right? Or something which is qa'imun binafsihi, which is a standalone entity, right? This is a standalone entity. It's different to the pen, right? This is a standalone entity, meaning its existence is separate and distinct from this thing here. Right? So we have to make this distinction that things exist either as a concept in the mind or they exist outside of the mind. Right? If I said to you, if I imagine in my mind an elephant that can fly, you know, 1,000 miles per hour, I can think of that in my mind, but does it actually exist? No. Does it exist? No, it doesn't exist. Right. This mistake where you think that what the mind thinks of somehow must be real outside of the mind is a mistake that many philosophers and even scientists today, this is a mistake that they make. Right? And on the basis of that, they are led to tremendous errors, tremendous mistakes, by not distinguishing between what's in the mind only and what actually exists outside of the mind. Right? And this is the one of the ways that the people of you know, the atheism, materialism, scientists, philosophers today, they play this trick, right? Where whatever the mind tries to conceive or think of, and they do that in science, they do that in, you know, in physics, they do that in many different sciences, and then they sometimes themselves are mistaken, they don't realize that this is a mistake they are making, and other times they deliberately play these tricks to make you believe something that is not really true and out there. This happens a lot in physics, in particle physics and things like that. Right? They do equations on paper and they think, these equations tell us that there has to be a particle out there. This type of particle, whatever. They've got no knowledge, no evidence, no way to detect it, nothing at all. But it's just that, you know, based upon the mathematics, they believe it must be out there. And then they go on a wild goose chase for, you know, and spend billions of dollars and they don't, you know, find anything. Right? So this mistake of not distinguishing between what the mind thinks of and what's actually out there is very important to understand that difference, right? So we differentiate, point number four, we differentiate between the mind, what it thinks, and what's actually true and real, what actually exists. Okay, so now we need to give some examples. Right, so from what's out there, there is the ghaib and the shahada. Right? I want you to give me examples of what is from the shahada.
Stars, moon, huh? Sun.
Huh?
Stars, moon, sun.
Yeah, like the heavens, the earth, yeah. The stars, the sun, the moon, the trees, the mountains, humans, right? All of these are things that we experience, we can see, and they are what we call perceptible. These are things which are perceptible, that you can perceive them with the senses, right? There are also some things which would be included in this category, because remember I said to you before that not only is the shahada like things outside of your body, but you yourself, you can feel your emotion of love, yes? You feel the emotion of fear, yes? You can feel and perceive it, you experience it, don't you, right? And you experience joy, and you experience apprehension. These things which are inside your body, joy, anger, things like that, these are also from the shahada, right? But this is a different category. It's not something that you see with your eyes. It's not something that you hear with your hearing. It's not something that you taste. It's not something that you touch, right? But this is an inner experience of the body that you know is true and real and exists, right? So, because there's a soul. So, from the shahada, is you know that there's a soul inside of you, which animates your body, which gives life to your body, right? And also from included in this category is Allah Azza wa Jal, not in the sense that we are seeing Allah Himself, but in the sense that we can see His handiwork, right? And inwardly in the fitrah, we know that through the shahada that Allah Azza wa Jal, you know, exists, although we can't actually see Him directly. Right, so this is what we mean from the shahada. Anything that's directly, you know, observable. On the other hand, that which is from the ghaib, that which we can't see. Right, this is anything that we cannot see in this world. It doesn't mean that it cannot be seen. It just means that we can't see in this world. Right. So in this, examples of this would be Allah Azza wa Jal, we can't see Allah, paradise, hellfire. These things are actually true and real and they exist, right? How do we know this? From al-khabar, from a truthful report. And the angels and the jinn, we can't see the angels, we can't see the jinn. These are true and real beings and entities which exist. And they are made out of, you know, we are made from clay and dust and the minerals therein, along with other things, water and other things. The angels are made of light, and the jinn are made of the, you know, smokeless part of the fire. But we can't really see them. We can't see them. It's not that they can't be seen. It's that in this life, we are not able to see them. Right? And you know also, you also know that even amongst Allah's creation, there are some creatures that can hear things that we are unable to hear. That's true, isn't it? Yes, true. The dogs and things like that, they can hear things that we can't hear. Likewise, there are things that can smell things that we can't smell. And likewise, there are certain types of birds, for example, who have a type of vision. It's like a telescopic vision. They can see a prayer from like miles away. We can't see that. Right? So even within this creation, in what Allah has created, what is ghaib is relative from creature to creature. And even person to person. Right? Because the ghaib is relative. In this room, what's behind me in that room is from the ghaib. Right? And likewise, what's over there in China is from the ghaib, because I can't see it. And likewise, paradise and hellfire, this is from the ghaib. It's all relative. So Allah Azza wa Jal is the alimul ghaibi wa shahada. He is the knower of all of that, all of what exists. Alimul ghaibi wa shahada. And so Allah knows all of that. But, you know, obviously from our point of view, we can only see that which we are able to see. And as for those things that the ghaib is only temporary, right? It's only temporary. And there's a point beyond which all of the limitations in our seeing and hearing, they will be gone. This will be on Yawmul Qiyamah. Yawmul Qiyamah, or when you enter into the barzakh after death. After death. Right? The distinction between the ghaib and the shahada will be gone. And thereupon, you will be able to see things, perceive things that you are not able to see and perceive now. In fact, even in the life of this world, there are examples of this. Like, for example, if you took an infrared light and you shine it on a surface, you can see things that you can't see with the vision of the eyes. Yes? This is an example in the life of this world. And so after death, and on Yawmul Qiyamah, there will be, and Allah knows best how, you know, Allah will change and alter things, that where the ghaib will no longer be from the ghaib. Right? So we will be able to see things and perceive things that we were not able to see and perceive in the life of this world. Right? And this is when we will have ilmul yaqeen, or aynul yaqeen. Right? In the Quran, there's a type of knowledge which is ilmul yaqeen, right? Where you know something is true, but then there is aynul yaqeen. Okay, so this is really point 5 and 6, that we gave examples of the ghaib, we gave examples of the shahada, the unseen and the seen, and we mentioned that there will come a time when the distinction will be gone. Right? So what is ghaib will no longer be from the ghaib. And, you know, when a person enters the grave and the soul departs from the body, right, there's a new type of perception and awareness where certain realities will become evident. And likewise, on Yawmul Qiyamah, you know, paradise, hellfire, and many other things, you will see them to be true and to be real and to be actual. So there's a point when that distinction will be gone. So all of this, what I mentioned here, really is just to help us understand some of these important issues. They are dealt with in some detail in the books of, you know, Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah and others. And he's discussing the mistakes made by the people of philosophy in the past, but they are the same mistakes which are made by people today as well. In fact, not only just the people of philosophy and science, but also there are people of other religions, right? They make mistakes in this field because it's to do with, you know, like we said, feelings that you have. You experience certain feelings, and the way you interpret those feelings, right? How do you interpret? What do they refer to? What do they relate to? And so you'll see some people speaking about, yes, you know, I merged with a higher consciousness, and, you know, sometimes they can't tell whether, you know, are they possessed by a jinn, or have they opened up their body for a jinn to enter? And this is why you see many of these people, like, you know, they have these seances, right, where they try to connect with the spirits and things like this. And so these shayateen, they play with their minds and they play with their feelings. And then they believe things which are not really true, right? And they start building ideas and concepts and even whole religions on the back of these experiences, right? So I've only just very briefly introduced some of these principles here, just, you know, so we put into context this topic that we are discussing about the grave and about the soul when it leaves the body, right? What happens after death, right? So 6 points, just, you know, as a framework for now. The first description of the believers in the Quran, in the very second or third verse, is that they believe in the unseen. In fact, there is no person on this earth except that he believes in the unseen. This is an absolute reality. No person can escape from believing in something from the unseen. Right? Even the atheist, even nobody can escape this. Right? That they believe something they cannot prove, with the senses. That's number one. Number two, the whole of existence is divided in the Quran into the ghaib and the shahada, the unseen and the seen. Right? And all of this is relative. This is relative. Allah Azza wa Jal is alimul ghaibi wa shahada. He knows everything that exists. As for us, what is the seen, what is the unseen? It is relative. We cannot see the jinn. We cannot see the angels. The jinn can see us, but there's some things that they cannot see. Right? And likewise, there are animals that can see things that other animals cannot see. There are some animals that can, through sound, can see things that others cannot see. All of this varies. Allah has created different, you know, entities and beings and give them different levels of the ability to see and perceive. Right? So, all of the of existence is either the ghaib or the shahada. Number three, how do we acquire knowledge of that? Three routes. Number one is al-his, by sensory perception. Number two is by reason. By reason, right? Elementary principles from the fitrah, and then just investigation and reason and deduction. And thirdly, it is al-khabar, which is the most important here, which is reports from other people. Most of our knowledge that we hold in our head has come through reports from other people. Right? And that's a valid, correct, truthful source of information, so long as the transmission is you know reliable and true. Fourth point, I said that it's important to distinguish between what the mind thinks of and what's actually out there physically. It's not the same thing. Right? Because the mind can think of many ideas, concepts and things, some of which might be impossible, some of which don't even exist, but what's actually out there is something else. And fifthly, we said, or we gave examples of the ghaib and the shahada. And sixthly, we said that in the hereafter, or when a person dies, that distinction will be gone, and a person will be able to see more things than they are able to perceive in the life of this world, right? So from those things which enter into the unseen is the grave, and when you're buried in the grave, and when the soul is removed from you, and obviously your body dies, and it starts to perish, and so there is, you know, a period of time that you are in what we call the barzakh. The barzakh is a partition. It's the intermediate stage between this world and the hereafter, when everybody is resurrected, and when there will be true justice, and there will be recompense and reward, right, for a person's deeds. So the Shaykh mentioned a hadith